You're out of your comfort zone.
I am. It's true.
It's okay. Don, nice to see you.
It's good to see you as well, Eric.
So,
and, much appreciated.
Yeah, well, I feel like there's a lot of confusion. You know, we're going to talk about, you know, alcohol and libations and then, you know, judgment about drinking. I don't judge anybody.
Well, no, nor should you.
I am in no position. but I am in a position to be here. Yeah, no, I was... So it harkens back to my first gig in the opera business. I was singing about as you know, if there was no traffic, and this is New Jersey, so please remember, if there was no traffic, it was about an hour and a half, and about 45 minutes into that, I realized that the outfit that I was supposed to wear for the opera was in fact my tuxedo, which was back at my house. And actually, traffic was going pretty well along 287 going north, which is the way I was going. And then I looked over southbound, and it was exactly what you'd expect. And so I was a lot. There was a lot of cursing, a lot of angst, and so today I forgot the libation. I was about halfway here, and then it was like, I put that in the fridge to put a nice light chill on it, and I'll bet it's got a nice light chill on it. However, it's nowhere near my car right now. So that's okay. We're here. And so is the booze. And sorry about those folks in front of Stephen King's house who are taking the SK Tours tour. That is exactly how we all drive up here.
But that's okay. They'll be pulling into the parking lot here anytime
that's
soon.
Right.
Oh, we show up to the station.
Oh, and they're gonna run in fear.
That's the truck Pennywise was driving.
I always try to be nice to these folks because I find myself, I live only around the corner from Hair King, and I try to, you know, be friendly to these folks, you know, especially in springtime when my windows are down. I say, you know, welcome to Derry or something like that. And, you know, I don't think they're really expecting that. I'm like, no, this is all part of the tour. Everything you see here is contrived for you.
It's like Westworld, you know, King World. We're all here for you.
I was more thinking of, God, Lord, what's that, the movie with Jim Carrey?
The Truman Show.
The Truman Show. That's
oh, yeah.
I feel like every time someone comes to here to Derry, they're like, wow, this is... Did they do this or is this really real? Like, no, it's really real.
And slam right into a wall about a half a mile past the station here.
Yeah. Cool. So anyway, what are we doing today? We're doing Appalachians.
Yes.
And we have two more weeks of it. And because I can't tell time, we're a week ahead. So next week I'm going to come in with a wild card Appalachian topic. But today we're going to be talking about one of the oldest, actually, appellations in the world, which is port. And port, at this time of year, people are like, well, you know, port's not really appropriate. But it's important to, we'll talk about, you know, the variety of ports and all that sort of thing. But it is kind of cool because it is one of, I think it's the third oldest protected region in the world. And it goes back to 1756. So that was... I mean, it's just kind of interesting, you know, every day there's, you know, as I was talking about earlier, a couple of weeks earlier, you know, my friend Marcel is talking to the folks in Madrid, talking to, you know, saying, we want this new appellation to be created. So there's new sort of recognition of spatial greatness happening every day. But it's very, very cool to think that even, you know, back then there was recognition. However, what's kind of weird about the port appellation is that the Douro Valley, where all the fruit comes from, is absolutely nowhere near where the wine is stored and shipped from. So here's the story, right? Excuse me. I need to take a sip of water because I was running to get here. I swear it was water. Sipping the port comes later.
Yeah.
How port works is kind of interesting. So we've had wines from all over this river, but the Douro River or the Duero River, depending on which country you're coming in. So you're in Spain, and it comes just south of the region of Rioja and goes along Ribera del Duero and through the region of Toro, which we've talked about, and into Portugal. And there's this magnificent multi-tiered valley called the Douro Valley. And of course, the tiering system, and you know, not surprising, all viticulture in Europe basically came from the Romans. You know, thank you, Romans. So they learned how to, you know, essentially, you know, create these wonderful man-made tiers going down, and it's wonderful. And that's where they grow all these great grapes. So very, very similar climate to a lot of the wonderful Spanish wines that we've talked about. But then they ship everything downstream, and it's the city of Oporto that really was the important part of it, much like the city of Bordeaux is important, much like all these, because it's a port city. Literally, it's even named, like, every port city in the world, like Portland and Port Oporto, and they're very basic people, but it seemed to stick. And so the Brits, especially, who really, really liked this wine, because port being a fortified wine, we'll talk a little bit about what that means, keeps really well, right? So it could ship, and the Brits really liked it, and so they dubbed it port. But the city is itself is Oporto. The fortified wine is stored in lodges in Porto, and there's a sort of a neighboring city across the, you know, in the little peninsula across the way called Vila Nova da Gaia. And that's really where the wine was shipped from, but not necessarily made or whatever. So the protected appellation of the Douro Valley, it has nothing necessarily to do with the name of it or where it came from, which is kind of, you know, bizarre and interesting. So how is port made? Port is, as I said, what we call a fortified wine, and there's several different kinds of fortified wines in the world, but port specifically is made by, as you all know, so grapes are growing, they get the sugar, they get ripe, and then you take them and you start to ferment them, and essentially you let all the you let the yeast do its work in normal, you know, table wines, and it comes up to, you know, your alcohol percentages of, you know, 10%, 11%, 12%, up to 15%+. But in the port wines, they let it start fermenting, but there's still a lot of residual sugar in there, and they hit it with a neutral grape spirit called aguardiente, and that stops the yeast from doing its job. It stops it from fermenting. It also obviously boosts the alcohol content. So you have sugar, you have more alcohol, and you have a very sort of a fairly strong beverage, but not too strong, right? So it's a very nice, you know, after dinner drink or things like that. But why do I like to talk about it sort of year round? Well, because there's a lot of different kinds of ports, right? And so, the port sales have been in decline since, I think, was it, 2005. And I think the problem is that though wine sales have gone up, millennials don't really catch on to port. I mean, it's not real hip. You know, the only people I know who buy port, you know, with any sort of gusto are also buying a wedge of Stilton and going home to their, you know, their parlors to have it. You know, and that's a shame because, as I mentioned, there's a lot of different kinds of port. Now, the port we're drinking right now is a very typical, it's a 10-year tawny. But there's white ports, which are very fresh and fruity and make wonderful aperitifs. You know, mix it with a little Prosecco, some fresh herbs, in fact, and you can make some really crazy kind of wild things to serve your friends on a nice hot day, which thankfully we're getting again. Yes, I mean, you certainly can have it with the Stilton.
Did you bring the Stilton?
I didn't bring the Stilton, I'm sorry. I probably would have forgotten it anyway. And blue cheese is not the sort of thing you want to forget, especially if you've left it out somewhere.
Oh, yeah. So, in your vehicle.
Yeah. The impacts of leaving a bottle of wine in your vehicle are far more minimal than leaving a hunk of ripe blue. Port that's really kind of good at this time of year still is ruby ports, right? So these are these very fresh, fruity, as the name would suggest, you know, red, ripe, juicy berry kind of ports, which I think are really, really cool. And again, if you cut a port with some seltzer or some Prosecco, it really, really livens it up and makes it into a drink that not a lot of people have ever experienced. And so I would just highly encourage people to think about things like that. So as I mentioned, the wine, because I don't want to run out of time, we are drinking the Wars Ultima 10. So the other, we have plenty of time. Good. That's cool because I have some fun news coming up. The main style of port that everybody kind of knows is the tawny. This is where you start to get into age. So this is the minimum age is a 10-year, 20-year, 30-year, 40-year, things like that. This is much more sort of caramelly and rich. You get like orange, especially in this one, you get a lot of like, I don't know, you guys tell me if I'm crazy, but a lot of very sort of orange rind, dried fig, a lot of dried fruit on these. And it's absolutely gorgeous. And that's why it goes really well with blue cheese, because blue cheese has kind of a weird salty, sweet, savory thing going on. And this just matches it beautifully. But it also, you know, again, when you cut it with stuff, matches a lot of more umami type dishes that sometimes are kind of hard to pair with. So I think they're kind of fun. As I said, this is Wahr's Ultima 10. It's very affordable. It's wonderful. It's made for millennials, frankly. I mean, they even admit it. It's in a smaller bottle, not a 750 milliliter bottle. So it's a little less intimidating because people, I think, can't get their heads around drinking a whole bottle of port. Not that you drink all one in one sitting. But it is important to remember that port is still wine and it can like kind of go bad after a while. So if you've had like a half full bottle of port for 5 years, maybe just visit us over at Bangor Wine and we'll set you up for the next 5 years, something like that. Cool. So as I mentioned, there's some fun news on the horizon at Bangor Wine and Cheese for our June tasting. Anybody who loves beer, and there's so few of you out there, but just on the off chance, at our June tasting, which will be the 21st, the normal third Thursday, we are having absolutely wonderful wines with a friend of mine, Chris Rowell, Crust Distributors. They're organic, biodynamic, absolutely awesome, crushable wines for the summer. But also, we are going to be participating in the release, and I don't even think it's been announced yet, so I can't. But there's one of those, like, can you get this top five breweries coming into Maine next month? And we're going to be participating in the release of it, as is, I believe, Gene down at Nocturnum, because, gee, shocking, Gene has his finger on the pulse of what's going on in the beer scene. So the 21st, beer lovers, be on the lookout for the tasting at Bangor Wine and Cheese from 5 to 7, and then something going on, some sort of tap takeover of one of the most requested, but not yet in the state, breweries. Love teasers. Mm. So what do we think of the port?
I like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you bring it into your life without blue cheese?
Yes.
I thought tawny was also an apt description of its coloration.
Mm. That's right. And that's, yeah. So basically, the tawnies are taking a lot more of their essence from the barreling. And so when the fruit is initially picked, you're really going for how is this going to best express itself? Is it destined for a ruby port? Is it destined for something that's really going to absorb the flavors well over time? So it's still a very intricate winemaking process. It's just kind of with a different end game. So it's being a chef, just like anything else, but kind of, you know, changing where you're going. But anyway, ports, bring them into your life, millennials, because they've been around for a long time and, you know, probably for a reason. I'm just saying. Anyway, and June 21st. Cool tasting, Bangor Wine and Cheese. Please come.
Thanks, Eric. This is for you as we head into the news.
A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load the 16 tons.
Nice.
What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause...